Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Pfluger pushes border security. Congressman visits border on Saturday. Staff writer. Congressman August Pfluger visited the U.S.-Mexico border Saturday on a tour of the Customs and Border Patrol Central Processing Center in McAllen. There are numerous issues that need to be addressed at our southern border. During my visit, I witnessed nearly 500 illegal migrants crossing the border, Pfluger said via news release. These numbers are staggering. Pfluger, a Republican from San Angelo, represents the 11th Congressional District of Texas, which includes Ector and Midland counties. Pfluger praised Border Patrol officers and blasted the politics of the Democratic President Joe Biden. Our heroic Border Patrol officers are working to overcome the challenge of inconsistent fences, understaffing, and most importantly, rhetoric and politics from our president, and are encouraging most illegal border crossings in the history of the county, Pfluger said. We must build the wall, provide the technology needed, hire more Border Patrol agents, and secure the border once and for all.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 3rd. Odessa Police Department officers shoot Odessan. Twice deported illegal shoots Seminole cop. The story was written by Kim Smith. An Odessa man was shot by police officers who responded to a disturbance call around 11:30 p.m. Saturday. According to an Odessa Police Department news release, Michael Villasenor, age 46, pointed a firearm at officers who responded to the call in the 600 block of East 96th Street. The officers fired at him, striking him multiple times. Villasenor was taken to Medical Center Hospital, where he was listed Sunday in stable condition in ICU. Officials said he would be transferred to Lubbock and be accompanied by a guard. No one answered the door at Villasenor's home Sunday morning, but neighbors described their street as a quiet one. One neighbor said she often saw Villasenor playing with two elementary school-aged children and doing yard work. Another said Villasenor was a good guy. There were no outward signs of Saturday's events at the Villasenor's home Sunday. A beach chair sat in the driveway, and the front entryway was decked out with fall decorations, including pumpkins. A welcome mat sat near the front door with the message, "Our Happy Place." The Texas Rangers are investigating the incident. The Rangers are also investigating an officer-involved shooting that took place in Seminole Saturday morning. According to a Seminole police press release, a Mexican man who was in the country illegally and has been deported before pulled out a handgun during a traffic stop on Northwest 11th Street and shot a Seminole police officer. The wounded officer fired back at the suspect, who ran away. Officers later located Ramon Castillo Lopez, age 27, in the 800 block of Northwest I Avenue and arrested him. The officer was treated at Seminole Memorial and released. Castillo Lopez was arrested on suspicion of attempted capital murder and evading. He was also arrested on an outstanding warrant for possession of a controlled substance. Authorities say additional charges are pending. On the cutting edge, Crane expands tech classes. Welding and cosmetology back on campus. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Through a partnership with Odessa College, welding and cosmetology have returned to Crane ISD after long absences. 29 students signed up for welding this semester, and 11 enrolled in cosmetology. Welding had not been offered since 2011-2012, and cosmetology had not been available since the 2014-2015 school year. When the courses grow, the district will make use of creative scheduling so classes will be staggered. Magnum Cates is the welding instructor, and Morgan Hall teaches cosmetology. The welding building and the cosmetology room is in the Bethune building, where the Crane Fledgling Learning Center is housed. Both classes are dual credit. Cates, who is an Odessa College instructor, said the majority of the students are boys, but there are some girls. Cates worked as a teaching assistant at OC while he was in college and is going back to get his associate degree. In between, Cates did some tungsten and gas welding. He added that he loves working with people at the college, and the students have turned out to be awesome. He said the students were very into it and always attentive. Quote, "They're very dedicated, and it's been a joy so far," Cates added. Getting the program restarted was very hectic at the beginning. Quote, "It started out where we didn't have some of the materials right away, so we had to come up with different projects that weren't necessarily mainstream just because we didn't have some of the cutting torches and some of the other things. We pushed more toward the welding side because we already had the welders in and we already had some of the materials for them to be able to work on," he said. The building cleanup, to make it safe, took the longest. There was equipment in the building, but a lot of repairs had to be made. Cates said he had a couple of instructors from the college help fix things that first week so students could get going. They didn't have a cutting table, but they had what was left of a trailer, so they made a cutting table out of it. They had some welding jackets, but they were pretty dirty, and some of them were tattered. Odessa College had a grant, so they were able to replenish the supply quickly. There were already safety hoods and glasses available. Quote, "Really, all we had to get was the stuff that is directly to the students, like they had to get their jeans and their boots and their welding caps, because they're all different sizes, and you just can't carry enough sizes for all of them," Kate said. New gas bottles were needed so the students could start cutting. Quote, "But as far as the curriculum side, Odessa College makes it very easy. We've got a pretty set standard, so just moving from college to high school, all we did is split it up into 5 days instead of 2 days," Kate said. "This means a little less time per day, but overall they get an extra 30 minutes compared to the college students." Kiara Lozano, a 15-year-old sophomore, and Addison Hawkins, a 16-year-old junior, were part of one of Kate's classes September 26th. Lozano said she decided to take the class because her dad welds and it inspired her to do it. Quote, I like it because it makes you feel at ease. It calms me down a bit," Lozano said. She added that she would like to pursue welding professionally. Quote, "That's my goal," Lozano said. Hawkins said she went for welding because she wanted the skills it would give her. She's not sure if she wants to pursue welding after high school. Quote, "That's why I wanted to take it, because I don't really know what I want to do. So if I like this, I think I would proceed further. I want to get my certificate for sure, though," Hawkins said. Hawkins said she likes the class for the results it can yield. Hall has 6 seniors and 5 juniors in cosmetology. Quote, "As we get started, we are going through TDLR, which is Texas License and Regulation. They have to complete 1,000 hours of assessments, whether it's wet sets, perms, foils, back combing," Hall said. "They also learn the basics of makeup and manicures. There is a list of things that the students have to complete in a certain amount of time, because when they take the state boards, those are also timed." She noted that cosmetology students can get hands-on experience, express their creativity, and make some money within less than a year. When they finish the courses, they will get a student permit license, and once they log the 1,000 hours, they will get an official cosmetology license. It is a dual credit course through Odessa College that runs on an 8-week schedule. Sherry Shepherdson, a cosmetology instructor at the college, and Hall worked together on the course. Hall said the Cosmetology 2 course will start October 17th. If the students want to move on afterward, they can go to Odessa or Midland College. Esmeralda Mendoza, a 16-year-old junior, and Idalis Rivera, a 17-year-old senior, are glad the program is in Crane. Quote, "I signed up for the program because I've always wanted to do hair. I've always had a passion for doing hair and just making people feel good about themselves. That's why I decided to sign up, and I figured it would be a good opportunity to get ahead and graduate earlier," Rivera said. Mendoza says she enjoys talking to people. Quote, "Doing cosmetology, you get a connection with your clients," she said. Mendoza said she has always been interested in cosmetology, especially in makeup and eyelashes. Crane ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard said the district conducted some interest surveys working with OC. The surveys were distributed to high school students to see what was of interest to them. Quote, "Those two were of the highest interest, and then also looking at those two facilities and they're sitting there not being used. Those are areas that are definitely in high demand and high interest areas," Howard said. "When we started looking at what it would take to bring them back, it didn't take that much, so it was a matter of just working with Odessa College and partnering with them on the dual credit and the credentialing," end quote. The district had a relationship with OC, but then there was a period of time where they didn't. Quote, "All the dual credit had started running through Angelo State, and so we utilize Angelo State for courses, but we also have expanded offerings with Odessa College to allow students opportunities and options," Howard said. Several years ago, the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board allowed school districts to work with more than just their local community college, so it's not heard of for a district to use more than one provider. Quote, "And that's kind of what we're looking at. Who can provide what, and what are the areas of interest for students?" she said. October means pink is everywhere. The story was written by Carol Cates, the chief nursing officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. "It's October, and everywhere you go, there is something pink. Because of that, and because of some of these scandals associated with the marketing attached to breast cancer awareness, there's quite a bit of debate about the effectiveness of all these campaigns. One of the first things I hear critics cite when they talk about all the hype around breast cancer is that breast cancer rates haven't declined. That is true, but personally, I think those people are missing the point of awareness. Awareness doesn't change the incidence of a disease. What it changes is how people recognize symptoms and the need for early detection. Those of you who regularly read my columns know how often I talk about the importance of early detection and treatment. With cancers, early detection quite literally saves lives. That is where breast cancer awareness makes a difference. Here in the Basin, we have a wonderful organization that not only works to improve breast cancer awareness and the importance of early detection, but they also work to make sure that everyone has access to early detection testing. That organization is Pink the Basin. They are absolutely one of the best organizations I know for using Breast Cancer Awareness Month and every month the way it should be used to improve early detection by making sure everyone who needs a screening for breast cancer gets a screening. I said everyone because breast cancer is not just a women's disease. While it is much rarer in men, it still happens. The American Cancer Society has estimated that 2,700 men in the U.S. will be diagnosed with breast cancer in 2022, and 530 men will die because of it this year. While there are currently no mammogram recommendations for the average man, if you are a man and have a history of breast cancer in your family, particularly in a man in your family, please speak to your healthcare provider about early detection methods that are best for you. All men after puberty should do regular breast tissue self-examinations. Please speak to your primary healthcare provider about how to perform a self-screening exam and how often you need to do those exams. For women, the recommendation is that women get an annual screening mammogram beginning at age 40 if they are at average risk. For women at higher risk because of their genetics, other risks due to radiation exposure, or a personal history of breast cancer, they may need a screening MRI rather than a mammogram. Speak to your primary health care provider about the kind of breast cancer screening that is best for you. All women should also do a regular self-screening exam once they pass puberty. Just as I said with men, please speak to your primary health care provider about how to perform a self-screening exam and how often they need to be done. Please consider getting a screening mammogram soon if you do meet those recommendations. You don't need a prescription for a screening mammogram. You just need to call a mammography center for an appointment. If you need a screening mammogram and cannot afford one, please go to pinkthebasin.com and their Get Help page. That page has information on getting a mammogram when you are concerned about the costs. That page also has several mammography centers in the basin listed if you don't know what centers are in this area. The other thing I would really encourage everyone to do this month is to participate in the many Pink the Basin activities to increase breast care awareness and to help provide funding for the breast cancer screening examinations Pink the Basin supports. They have several events scheduled this month: the 10th Annual Sporting Clays event on October 7th, Jackalope's Pink the Basin Night on October 15th, Pink the Pool on October 5th, the 21st Annual Breast Cancer Awareness Chili and Barbecue Cook-Off on October 8th, and Soft Suds Pink the Basin Days every Wednesday throughout October. Please go visit the Pink the Basin website for more details. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Franken Toys. The Ector County Library Children's Department is collecting clean, used, or broken toys through October 21st. Toy donations may be dropped off during library hours at the library at 321 West 5th Street. These toys will be used for the Franken Toys Toy Workshop from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. October 24th in the Children's Department. The workshop will help participants create new toys by tearing apart old ones and putting them back together in whole new ways. Participants can combine two or more toys to make something totally different. This is a family activity. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us or tinyurl.com/2p94zx9b. The Ector County Library at 321 West 5th Street has scheduled an exhibition, A Permanent Record, featured works by Heidi Petrie through November 19th. Visit odessaarts.org/calendar or ector.lib.tx.us. Ballroom Marfa, 108 East San Antonio Street in Marfa, has scheduled the viewing of projects Carolina Quesito and David De Rosas at the Museum of Modern Art through January 2, 2023. To learn about the artist's process in making the works, listen to their transmissions interview at tinyurl.com/4JTHKX5W. The Odessa Police Department has scheduled National Night Out from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday. The event will take place across the entire city. National Night Out is designed to heighten crime and drug prevention awareness, generate support for and participation in local anti-crime partnerships, and send a message to criminals, letting them know that neighborhoods are organized and fighting back. To learn more, or to register your block, church, or apartment complex, visit tinyurl.com/498P4VHV. The University of Texas Permian Basin will present the inaugural scholarship ball at 6 p.m. Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center at 305 East 5th Street. Admission fees support all UTPB students. More than 90% of enrolled students at UTPB are eligible for scholarship funds, and many students depend on these dollars to complete their college degrees. All proceeds from the scholarship ball support this important initiative. Tickets start at $250 for an individual. Sponsorship opportunities are available. To sponsor or learn more or purchase tickets and sponsorships, visit tinyurl.com/3Z7KR6BK.
This is Jane rooting for the OA for Saturday, October 1st. To your good health. Excess connective tissue leads to outward skin conditions. Dear Dr. Roach, in my 40s, I developed lumps in the palm of my hands. I was diagnosed with Dupuytren's contracture and underwent hand surgery to correct the condition. I also noticed similar lumps in the arches of my feet, which cause no pain, so I've not sought treatment for my feet. Now in my mid-60s, I have experienced a severe bend in my penis. I assume it's Peyronie's disease. The bend has lessened over several months. What is the cause and connection between these phenomena? Should I seek treatment? Answer. All three of the conditions you mentioned are related to excess growth of connective tissue. In the hand, Dupuytren's contracture is caused by excess growth of a connective cell called a fibroblast in the superficial palmar fascia. Fascia is thick, tough connective tissue found in many places in the body. A very similar condition in the plantar fascia, plantar refers to the sole of the feet, is called plantar fibromatosis, also called Lederhose disease. Peyronie's disease is also caused by excess growth of fibroblasts, which deposition of collagen plaques in the penis, causing pain and deformity of the penis. This in turn can cause physiological distress and sexual dysfunction. 21% of people with Peyronie's also have Dupuytren's contracture. It is thought that repeated trauma, whether to the hand, penis, or foot, is a trigger for the abnormal fibroblast activity in people with a genetic predisposition. Many men do not speak to their physician about Peyronie's disease, so they don't get referred to a urologist who can discuss the options for treatment. Treatment may include medications, injection, and surgery, and referral to an expert is appropriate for all men in whom the condition is suspected.
Dear Abby, woman discovers a pair of siblings she's never known. Dear Abby, I am a 49-year-old woman who never had a father in my life. He was gone shortly after my mother announced she was pregnant. When she contacted him via his family to let him know I was born, he said he didn't care. He was already with someone else, and she was pregnant. I have always known his name and that he lived in Ohio. Well, thanks to technology, I found him. I would look him up every so often. I just learned he died 7 months ago. I saw from his obituary that I have two brothers. I'm not sure what, if anything, to do. If they don't know about me, wouldn't that be a shock? I haven't told my mother anything about this. I'm not sure how, to be honest. So where am I supposed to go from here? Feeling lost and confused. Dear Feeling Lost, you should discuss the fact that you have been searching with your mother. It's long overdue, and she may be able to share more details with you. If you were seeking the father you never had, he was gone long before his death, and for that I am sorry. If you are looking for a family relationship with your half-brothers, the chances of you finding one are slim. They may have never been told about their father's past. What a healthy person would do in a case like this is build a family of your choosing with friends who are caring and supportive and concentrate on the future rather than the past, which you cannot change. Dear Abby, seeking help in Texas, July 19th, sought assistance for her 24-year-old grandson with Asperger syndrome and a bipolar diagnosis. He could apply for career counseling and job placement services from the Vocational Rehabilitation Agency serving job seekers with disabilities in his state. In Texas, he could contact 800-628-5115 or visit twc.state.tx.us/. Residents in other states can find their VR agencies at rsa.ed.gov/about/states. Job seekers are generally eligible for VR services if they have a physical, mental, or visual disability that is a barrier to employment and need vocational rehabilitation services to get or keep a job. Other employment-related services could include training or college education assistive technology, self-employment programs, and other programs needed to reach career goals. Vocational rehabilitation programs introduce or reinstate people with disabilities into the workforce, create taxpayers, and reduce dependence on disability benefits and government assistance. The workplace could also be a great place for the young man to meet people and possibly develop socially, which is a concern in the letter. Jody Harlan, Oklahoma Department of Rehabilitation Services. Dear Jody, thank you for providing additional resources for the young man who is in need of a jump start in his life. I am sure they will prove helpful, not only to that family, but also to many other readers with whom that letter resonated.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.